is LBC 97.3. Call 0845 6060973. Text 84850. Have your say with James Max.
And a very good afternoon to you. Just coming up to 5 minutes past 4 o'clock. I'm James Max with you until 7 o'clock here on LBC 97.3. With your Sunday afternoon show, in a few moments' time, we'll turn our attention to that breaking news story of the arrest of the former News International CEO, Rebecca Brooks. A little bit later on in this hour, we'll be talking about an absurd taboo. You'll find out why some think the Beckhams are a bad role model for UK family life. And also, you will find out why the secret to a longer life may very well lie in dog food. It's serious. However, ex-News International chief executive Rebecca Brooks has been arrested by police investigating phone hacking and bribery at the News of the World. The 43-year-old was arrested by appointment at a London police station and remains in custody. She was arrested on suspicion of conspiring to intercept communications on suspicion of corruption. Of course, these are very serious allegations. We're not going to discuss those allegations. But what I do want to hear from you is that Ed Miliband this morning has given a speech and suggested that Murdoch's empire must be dismantled after the phone scandal. So as we continue to see this story unravel, we see further people involved and indeed arrested on very serious allegations. I'd like you to tell me whether you believe that Murdoch has too much power in the UK. Do you agree with that? Do you think that Ed Miliband is right when he pushes for new media rules? And also, should there be a probe now into B Sky B? Give me a call and tell me whether you agree with Ed Miliband when he suggests that the Murdoch media empire should be broken up. Call me now, 0845 6060973, text 84850, send me an email to jamesm@lbc.co.uk, or you can tweet me, if you like, at LBC 973. Joining me now to discuss this, and indeed all of this afternoon's breaking news, is David Banks. He's former editor of the Daily Mirror from 92 to 95 and assistant editor at The Sun. David, very good afternoon to you.
Hello, James.
Well, this, of course, this story continues. Some would say it's not surprising that Rebecca Brooks has been arrested, but given the seriousness of those allegations, were you surprised the news came on a Sunday?
I was, yeah. I mean, the word arrest is somewhat pejorative. I mean, she basically turned up by agreement for questioning at a police station. I mean, it seems a long way from the idea of being dawn raided by the cops and put in handcuffs and dragged off to quad. So, she's helping the police with their inquiries, and as it should be. I mean, there are some very serious questions to be answered, not only by Rebecca at the police station, but by Rebecca at the Select Committee next Tuesday in Parliament. And my fear is that the arrest and the questioning today is going to inhibit her ability to give answers to the parliamentary committee.
And that's something that I was quite concerned about, that inevitably, David Cameron early on in this process said, look, we've got to be fairly careful about what we do. The police need to be able to undertake their investigations. Mm. If we start undertaking our own investigations, all the people we want to speak to are going to be caught up in that. Are we actually going to get any benefit from that investigation and meeting on Tuesday?
I think what you are going to get, because I won't miss a second of it, and I'm sure that be a lot of people in this country riveted to the Parliament channel as never before. It's going to be high drama. It's going to be the best soap of the day. It'll outrank, in terms of viewership, it'll outrank Coronation Street or EastEnders.
Well, it's fair to say also, David, I must interject to say that we are actually going to be covering it live here on LBC 97.3 on Tuesday afternoon, and making sure that people do not miss an absolute word of it, because I think it is going to be one of those critical moments, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got a bit of a car trip to make on Tuesday, so I'll be listening on LBC because I need to hear every word of this. I don't know how beneficial it will be, but it'll be extraordinary to hear Rupert Murdoch giving evidence to a parliamentary committee, and I'm sure he's very nervous about it, actually.
I'm sure he is. Now, of course, we've seen these calls by Ed Miliband. He said that Murdoch's empire must be dismantled. At what stage does this stop being about corruption and ethics and start being about political control?
Well, for me, the important thing, even as the news was unrolling in the last 3 weeks or so, for me, the important thing is where do we go from here for the industry, to return trust that the public must have lost or has been damaged by these allegations in the press and in journalists. Don't forget that we're talking about one newspaper, the News of the World, maybe the Sun, maybe the Sunday Times. They've all been sort of dragged in, that Murdoch stable of newspapers. But, you know, there are 20 or there are now 19 national newspapers in this country. And that is a very small proportion of the 1,500 regional and local newspapers up and down the country staffed by very hard-working, loyal, decent, truthful local hacks. And they must be horrified at what, you know, the way they've been vilified now because of the actions of a few. And I think we have to get to the bottom of this. And what happens afterwards is very important. What happens to the Press Complaints Commission? It's all very well to talk about breaking up the Murdoch empire. I'm not sure how you do that, other than by passing new media regulations which control the amount of the percentage of the press that that one person can own or one group. But don't forget, it can't just be anti-Murdoch legislation. It will affect everyone. It'll affect the Daily Mail. It'll affect the Telegraph Group. It'll affect, you know, it affects everyone. You don't make laws in isolation to deal with one man or one company. Just as the Press Complaints Commission, it's all very well talking about scrap the Press Complaints Commission. I don't know who can scrap it. It's an industry body that does not have a majority of editors on its board. It's not as though the press is in the majority. Lay people are in the majority, a very sizable majority as well. So it is largely independent. It just needs more teeth. And that's what really concerns me about the fallout from this whole business.
Well, it certainly does. In terms of your experience, Daily Mirror, and then at The Sun as well,
mm-hmm.
The sorts of practices that we are talking about here, if you look back on your time, how many practices were going on in those newsrooms that now would be looked at as unsavoury or indeed unethical?
Listen, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, given that we all now understand that awful things seem to have gone on, allegedly. I wouldn't have allowed them in my newsroom when I was editing. I wasn't aware of them at The Sun under, you know, The Sun, the notorious Kelvin McKenzie. That's when I worked for The Sun, between my stints for Rupert Murdoch in America and in Australia. I mean, there were, what do we call sharp practices? There was a bit of blagging going on. There was a, you know, that where you pretend for the sake of getting a story that you're something that you're not. But that's not hacking. It's not illegal. It is in the public interest. Journalists have always used tricks. They make shorthand notes, which is a way of making sure that, and those notes, by the way, tend to be acceptable in a court of law. Now, I don't know how courts of law in the future will regard journalists' notes or tape recordings, but they, you know, these sorts of things have been part and parcel of journalism for 300 years or 200 years. As far as I was concerned, when I was at The Sun, which I was for 6 years as a night editor and assistant editor, that did not go on. There were some very honest, very good journalists. It was raunchy journalism, mind you. It was journalism that often drew opprobrium and dislike among politicians and among, you know, members of the general public. Page Three Girls didn't help very much either, but there was no criminality.
You can guarantee that there was no criminality under your watch. But what can Rupert Murdoch do to end this scandal? I mean, do you think that, for example, he will have to sell off bits of his business, or do you think that his son James will have to step down from his role at BSkyB?
I think James, unfortunately, is a bit of a busted flush. I mean, where we are now is we are dealing with the fallout from the way that the crisis was dealt with by senior management from 3-4 years ago, and that's just when James joined the you know, became chief executive, or joined the I was chairman of the board. So he's implicated very seriously in this. I think he has to be found some sort of job back in America. Leave Lachlan. I mean, the Murdochs are a damaged quantity at the moment, you know. Rupert's banging around, but he's 80 years old now. I mean, how much of this he can take, I'm not sure. The one ray of hope they've got as a member of the family to steady the ship here would be Elizabeth Murdoch, the oldest of the three middle family.
Well, it's certainly been reported that she hasn't been terribly complimentary about her brother's handling of this particular crisis.
Nor of Rebecca Brooks, and they've been great friends over the years, but I think she is very close to her father, and she would be horrified at the way it's gone. She's also a very successful businesswoman who has a seat on the board because of the fact that she sold her production company to News Corp for $400 million and demanded a seat on the board as of right. So it's not as though she's getting it through nepotism. If she was given a senior position, she might just be able to steady the ship. She's a very canny and somewhat charming woman, and a proven businesswoman. So I think that's where the Murdochs need to be looking.
And just finally to you, David, if I may, do you believe that we are overreacting to all of this, or is it simply as sensational as the coverage seems to indicate?
I don't think there's a measure of overreaction. I fear that overreaction will come when Parliament starts to work out how to regulate the press because of a major incursion into press ethics by a small group of people. And my great fear is, and this is not a selfish fear, after all, I'm not a proprietor, I'm not even an editor now, I'm out of the business by and large, I write columns and I'm a bit of a pundit. But my great fear is that by muzzling the press, by licensing the press, by doing things we haven't done to the press since the early 18th century, we're going to damage democracy in this country, and we have to think really carefully before we impose swingeing laws on an unpopular section of the community, which is the Fourth Estate at the moment. We have to be very, very careful.
Thank you very much indeed. That's David Banks, former editor at the Daily Mirror, and indeed former assistant editor at The Sun. Those are his views. I want yours now, please. 0845 6060 973. Ed Miliband says Murdoch's empire must be dismantled. Do you agree with him? Give me a call now. Time now, just gone 16 minutes past 4 o'clock.
This is LBC 97.3. Call 0845 6060 973. Text 84850. Have your say with James Max.
And a very good afternoon to you. Just gone 4 minutes past 5 o'clock. It's me, James Max, with you until 7 o'clock here on LBC 97.3 with this Sunday afternoon show. Now, a little bit later on, we'll be discussing whether you agree with cuts to the military. And also, we are continuing our coverage of this evolving story. Rebecca Brooks, of course, the ex-News International chief executive, has been arrested by police investigating phone hacking and bribery at the News of the World. Inevitably, that is dominating the news headlines. I've been asking you about Ed Miliband's call for the Murdoch empire to be broken up, and I'm asking whether you agree with that call or whether you think that his empire should be at least defended in some shape or form. Or is this becoming intensely political? Call me now on that. 0845 6060 973. Also, the pressure on News Corporation to make fundamental changes to its business have increased after it was revealed that board members of BSkyB are to meet in special session to discuss James Murdoch's future as chairman, and leading shareholders have said the company should sell off its newspaper business. Now, of course, to understand this, you have to understand how the company is owned. 61% of the shares are owned by institutions, investors, people in the public. 39% is owned by the Murdoch Corporation. And, of course, as a result of that, they are a minority shareholder, but a significant minority. And, indeed, James Murdoch, at this stage, is the chief executive of this particular organisation. So as a result of that, the question is whether James Murdoch will be continuing in his role. So I'm asking you whether you think that James Murdoch should resign. 0845 6060973 is the number to call. Well, let's take a look at the implications for BSkyB, and indeed whether James Murdoch is going to perhaps consider his role there. Joining me now is Paul Ashmar, who's an investigative journalist and the head of journalism at Brunel University. Paul, it seems rather strange that after such a meteoric rise, it comes to this. Do you think James Murdoch will survive?
I don't think so, long term. I think that the I think he's really most heavily compromised by the fact he signed off the first award to, or the payment in damages to Gordon Taylor, the person from the FA who got a payoff from News International a couple of years ago for having his phone hacked. It was the first one, and he's in a ridiculous situation now because he signed this thing off and he says that he wasn't properly informed. Well, that's just not a good position, is it, for a leading figure like that? You either know what's going on. So he's either a fool or a knave. He's in a completely impossible position.
So as a result of this, I mean, let's perhaps take a step back. From your experience of being an investigative journalist, is it right or reasonable that money changes hands? Do you think that this is something that somebody at the top of an organisation would know about when money does change hands?
Well, I've worked for over three decades on different news organisations, and editors know everything, and that's the deal. You know, I've never been anywhere where you don't tell the editor what you're doing. It is the most grave offence not to tell the editor what you're doing.
So when the editor says, "Oh, I had no knowledge of this," then they didn't ask the right questions of their team when they got these great exclusives, or alternatively, they did know and they're lying. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's fool or knave. I mean, this comes up over and over again, and I don't think it's really hard. I mean, it's just impossible. These are huge sums of money that seem to be going out at various points, and private investigator Glenn Mulcair, he got over £100,000. Now, you might say, well, what's this for exactly? Why are we paying £100,000 for this chap here? What's he doing? Can't we get this out of a telephone directory or something? It's so impossible to imagine that they didn't know. It's extraordinary.
So, it is absolutely extraordinary. What do you make of these calls by Ed Miliband to disband the Murdoch Corporation? Do you think that that is something that is acceptable, or do you think that that's something which is crossing the political Rubicon, if you like?
Well, at one level, of course, he's a politician, and given his position, that's what he is going to say. But on the other hand, I think you've got to say that he's not going to make any difference to it, really. Where the pressure's going to come from now is, the Murdoch empire is a $20 billion a year business, of which only a small part is in the UK. And there are a lot of people who have shares in it, a lot of other people have business interests. And it was fine while Murdoch did it well. Clearly, it's all gone wrong, and they want to save their money. So what you're going to see is the people outside the Murdoch family who are involved with News Corp are going to be setting out, along with the non-executive directors and so forth, they'll be setting out what's going to happen to make sure that they sort this out and get their money back.
Absolutely. I mean, the directors of BSkyB, they're being urged to, if you like, back or sack James Murdoch as chairman of the satellite broadcaster. Do you think that because of the toxicity of what is going on, that he can no longer stay in that role, given that they are only 39% shareholders of BSkyB, and investors will be saying, you are damaging our investment?
Well, I think what you know is going on behind the back, in the background here at the moment, that we don't see, is that Rupert Murdoch is fighting a losing battle to save his people. And the people he's most interested in preserving are obviously the members of his family. And he's probably dug a trench there trying to protect them, but the pressure must be growing enormously from all the other people involved in the business, who see that they may lose an awful lot of money very quickly if something isn't done.
Certainly is. Just finally to you, Paul, if I may, in respect of this particular situation, there's a lot of calls, particularly from politicians, about the future of the regulation of this industry. Who should we be listening to when it comes to sorting out the right answer for either the PCC or indeed the way the media industries are perhaps governed?
Well, it's a really difficult situation because it's so extraordinary what's going on now. I really worry that we'll end up, as a result, with having state regulation where the government imposes regulation on the media. I think that'll be a disaster. I think that'll be a complete overreaction. I think what we need is an organisation, get rid of the PCC and come up with something that is seen to be independent and rigorous. The PCC was not seen to be rigorous. It had too many people from the industry. It had on its board, it had people, are the very people that we're complaining about now. So I think we need a very beefed up independent regulation, but not state regulation. If you have state regulation in the media, I think that would be a complete disaster. Newspapers will be going to a complete mess. They won't be able to say anything, and they won't be able to do the good investigative journalists, not this rubbish that we've seen from News National over these years. The good investigative journalism is going to come under the hammer.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Paul Lashmar, investigative journalist and head of journalism at Brunel University. Thank you for your thoughts. 0845 6060973. 2 points there, perhaps, for us to pick up. First of all, James Murdoch, should he resign? Let me ask you about that. 0845 6060973. Still talking to you about whether you think that Murdoch should be forced to break up his media empire. And what about state regulation of the press? Is that something that you would ever accept? 0845 6060 973.